Well, I guess it's time to get started. All right. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to sing and worship the Lord for a while, and that's always a wonderful thing to do. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, seeking thy guidance and thy direction, asking that thy spirit would be here, asking that thou wouldst move upon us greatly. Let us feel thy presence here tonight, we ask, Lord, for that is why we come here, that is why we gather, so we may be near to thee. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst abide over this entire service. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, I guess we'll start with number 34 in the chorus book, How Great is Our God. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go. Trust in me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Trust in me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord. God is great. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord. Number 40.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, at the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His own. Joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord.
we know that that King we're singing about is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we go to number 7 and sing The Only Wise God. Our God, for He is worthy of all our praise and all our worship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to number 72, for He is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Oh, yes, He is Lord. And He is right here with us today, right here in this building, right here with us. Glory to God. We know that the Lord is here. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 76, Reach Out and Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know we'll all stand before Jesus one fine day, and I have to say I'm looking forward to that. I know some people aren't. Some people think it'll never happen. Oh, yes, it will. But praise the Lord. When we see Him, we will know Him. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 111, I Shall Know Him. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. Let's go to number 98, Because He Lives. Praise the Lord.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
to God.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And He does give us a purpose, doesn't He? He does give us a meaning to life. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You know, there are people out there, a lot of people out there, they don't know what the meaning of life is. They don't know Jesus. They try to fill that void in their life with all kinds of things. But you know what? You never can fill that void until you will let Jesus into your heart. Praise the Lord. And you know, we are completely helpless without Him. He is the one who gives us the strength and enables us to work for Him. So why don't we go to number 91 right now and sing Without Him. I could do nothing without Him. I'd surely fail without Him. Up the collection now, and we'll sing one more song and turn it over to Shirley after that. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy loving kindness. We thank thee for thy mercy towards us. We thank thee for thy great sustaining power. We thank thee for thy many blessings. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst continue to be with us. Watch over this ministry, we pray. Help us and lead us, guide us and direct us in all things. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for the cause of thy mighty name. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song, but before we do that, we do have a prayer request tonight. And Jane talked to Tori today, and unfortunately, Gabby has been in another accident. She was stopped at a stop sign, and a car behind her did not stop. So we're just going to pray for Gabby that all would be well and that there would be no lasting injuries and that she would heal quickly. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight for Gabby, asking, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven. Be with her, help her, comfort her in this time of distress. For we know how traumatic it can be to be involved in such an accident. We pray that thy hand would be upon her. We pray for a complete healing. We pray that there would be no lasting effects from this accident. But we ask, O God, that thou hast be with her, help her, guide her, direct her. We pray and watch over her, we ask. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started with the Bible study. And I think we should sing number 128, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful
upon Jesus as we get ready to study the Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I guess I better put this on. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, it's really good to be here. I think the wind might still be howling out there. It's been interesting, I must say. I keep on thinking if all this rain that we've had would be snow. We have lots of snow. I don't know, maybe we'll wake up to snow tomorrow. Oh, God knows. God knows. But you know, I am so thankful that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. You know, I just was feeling so blessed as we were singing that, because it is true, when our focus is on the Lord, these other things suddenly don't mean anything. They lose their, you know, their bigness. And you know, I mean, sometimes there might be things in front of us that seem insurmountable, and distractions and hindrances, and God knows, and even things that maybe seem, you know, profitable at times, but yet in the comparison to the things that are eternal, oh my, they just don't matter at all. You know, the things that men esteem here on earth are so insignificant to the things that are everlasting. And I'm just so glad that we can focus on the Lord, that we can see through these temporary moments here on earth. You know, if this life is but a vapor. It is here just a short time. The years just fly by. The months roll by, you know. And years just turn over one after the other. But praise the Lord, we are looking for eternity. That realm where our Lord is, that realm where we're always going to be with Him, you know, where, you know, our eyes will be completely focused on the things that are eternal. If these other things will be dissolved and vanished away and no longer of any significance and not even coming to mind here, you know, the things that we've been troubled over and the things that we've wondered about and the disappointments and the tears and the heartache, the sorrows and all of these things that are part of our living here on earth. But praise the Lord, there's another world beyond that. And yes, it's true, when our eyes are focused on the Lord, all these other things just start to dissolve. You realize, wow, there's a God up there. One day I'm going to be up there worshiping Him and praising Him and adoring Him. And, you know, these other things will all be banished. And we have so much to look forward to if our life is hidden Christ, and we are His children, and how we have so much to look forward to. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here. I note that Diane isn't here again, so let's pray for her too, because I know she's really been sick. Praise the Lord, and needs a touch from the Lord tonight. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God. We thank You, Lord, that we can join here together. God, where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, Lord, there You are in our midst. And, oh, Lord, You are here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we can't see You, Lord, but we can sense Your presence, Lord. Oh, God, and we can think of You, Lord, and we can praise You, we can worship You, Lord, and we can dedicate this time to You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that You would work in our hearts tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help us to focus on the things that are eternal, Lord. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, that we would go forward in our hearts and in our thoughts, the direction of our lives, God. And I pray that You would put faith in our hearts, Lord, faith to please Thee, Lord, faith to go forward, Lord, faith to be saved, Lord, faith to be healed, oh God, faith, oh God, to get through all the fiery darts, oh Lord, that the enemy may try to attempt to throw at us. Oh Lord, You know how to do it, Lord, You know how to direct us, You know how to guide us. Oh, Lord, and we ask that You'd bind every contrary spirit and everything that opposes Thy kingdom, Thy directive, Lord. I pray that You talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us to cast aside anything, oh, Lord, that might be in the way, Lord. Oh, God, that might be a hindrance to our walk with You, Lord.
I pray, oh God, that you help us to see clearly, Lord, what you're trying to show us. God, I pray, oh Lord, that you help us to see and understand the things that are eternal. Oh God, that you put a deep down inside our hearts, Lord. Oh God, as we give it to you, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you, Jesus. Oh God, as we look for those things that are above. Oh God, none of those things that are on this earth. Oh God, pray that you help us here tonight. Pray, oh God, that you touch Diane, Lord. Pray, oh God, that you heal her from this affliction. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, right now that your virtue would flow, Lord God. And oh Lord, oh God, that things would be made right. Oh God, that you'd help her, Lord Jesus, that you'd strengthen her, the inner man, and oh Lord, the physical. Oh Lord Jesus, that you'd do a work, Lord, that you'd raise her up, Lord, that she might, oh God, sing thy praises and rejoice in thee, Lord. Oh God, we just give this to you, Lord, and I ask, oh Lord, now that you've strengthened her, God, you know every need. Oh God, in this place, and God, those that are online and those that will listen, God, I pray that you would meet the needs of your people, Lord. Pray that you would talk to our hearts. Pray that you would bind the strong man, and oh God, everything that would come against to attack us. Oh Lord, let us have only faith in thee, Lord Jesus. Help us to look forward to, oh God, what you are going to do. Oh Lord, the works that you do in our hearts. And oh God, the way that you change us. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us now in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh Lord, please give words, Lord, tonight. Oh God, give anointing. Let your presence be here, Lord God. Talk to our souls, God. Pray that you change us. Make us what we ought to be in thee, Lord. Oh God, take us to those deep places with you, Lord. Oh God, that we might know thee. Oh God, that we might dwell with thee. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise of God. We're going to continue in Acts 7 tonight. Perhaps finish it if the Lord will allow. And we'll call this series here, Faith of the Fathers. And praise the Lord. We thank God for faith. And one thing I know for sure, the faith that Abraham had, the faith that Moses had, the faith that Jacob had, those midwives, oh my, that didn't heed the Pharaoh. You know, the faith of God's people, those that truly live for him, we need that faith tonight. We need it deep down inside. We're not going to get to heaven if we don't have faith. We're not going to be able to fight those fiery darts if we don't have faith. And we've got to have it. Praise the Lord. By the strength of our Almighty God, we can have faith. Working deep down inside us and helping us to get to that place we need to be in the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts, the 7th chapter, as we begin here tonight. And a lot of things that we ponder here in this chapter. I just think this is a very amazing chapter here. Of course, we know it's Stephen's testimony. As he stood there, these were the last words that he had opportunity to say while he was yet on this earth. And wow, what a message. What a message he preached here right before the high priest, the Sanhedrin court, and all those that opposed him. Oh, he stood up and he said it. And the anointing of the Lord was mighty upon him. Very mighty, you know. They could see his face as it had been the face of an angel. You know, while the Lord was with him. And so he is with his people. You know, we might be going through fiery trials and have great burdens on our hearts. But yet, you know, our Lord knows how to carry us through all the circumstances that we have to face, and that is for sure. Praise the Lord for that. So praise God. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. You know, last week we were dealing with Moses pretty primarily, and some of the things he had to go through, and the rejection that he at the first had when he was 40 years of age, and you know. Of course, he had been the son of Pharaoh's daughter and had a lot of authority, and he'd already, made waves in a lot of ways. But you know, God put it in his heart to see how it was with his brother in the Hebrews. And you know, at that point, they couldn't even tell he was Hebrew. I'm sure he looked like an Egyptian. But yet, you know, there was something deep within. And I like how it says in Hebrews 11 chapter, how it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, I'm sure he had it pretty good there in Egypt, you know, with his esteem and his education and all his background and all of that. But there was something within him that was deeper than that. There was something that was pushing him forward. There was something that he wanted beyond that. And, you know, I don't... Even at that moment, you know, he didn't fully understand, I don't believe. It wasn't until God talked to him 40 years later, I believe, that he really met God. But yet there was something in his heart. And you know, it wasn't too hard for him to get up and leave the riches that he had as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And it says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And praise the Lord, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. God put that faith in his heart, just as God put faith in the heart of his parents, so that they could see that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. You know, God's people have a faith that goes beyond what is seen. It's down deep inside, and the world's not going to understand it, because it gives us strength to do things that, you know, other people would not do or even ponder. You know, it gives us strength to be different and to stand out and do the things that matter, the things that are according to the Scripture. I praise God for that. God gave Moses that faith, and you know, so it was. You know, initially, they refused him. You know, they didn't see him as a deliverer, but God kept on working. And there was a time when they began to cry out all the more. God heard their groanings, and God also had been preparing Moses to do that work as a deliverer, and praise the Lord, he came back. The Lord met him there in the desert, and things began to change, and God dealt with him. And there he was, you know, ready to do the Lord's work. And what a wonder it was. And so God used this man Moses in a mighty way. And, you know, I'm sure it took those 40 years, you know, to prepare him, because he had a task that was not easy. As he was leading those children of Israel out of Egypt and in the wilderness, I mean, this was unbelievable what he had to endure. You know, he had to have extreme strength. I know it came from God. You know, I know it was a blessing from the Lord and the faith that God gave him to be able to do that. But yes, we know that God used him, and he brought those children of Israel out of Egypt, and all those signs and wonders, and even in the wilderness, things that happened time and time again. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Verse 37 in Acts 7 says, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Of course, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. That prophetic utterance that was declared by Moses. And then as we continue in verse 38 here, it says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Again, I've already said that Moses' task was not an easy one. Oh my, it wasn't easy at all. It just, for every step those children of Israel took forward, it seems like they must have taken 100 back. You know, so it seems. But there, God was with him. And here it says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. I like the word church there. Stephen used the word church there. And you know, it comes from the word ecclesia, which means called out ones. And surely those Hebrew people were part of the church. They were called out of Egypt. They had been called out of the world. They were to be God's particular treasure, a peculiar people that would show forth the praises of our God. But yet we know that they didn't have strength for the most part to really live that part. But yet there was, that was part of the church. And we have that privilege today. We're part of the church of the living God. He's called us to make us his own peculiar treasure. And wow, we're part of a glorious church. A glorious church that the Lord Jesus is going to present unto himself. A church that has no blemishes, a church that doesn't have any wrinkles, a church that doesn't have any spots, and that's what the Lord is presenting to himself. He's getting his church ready. Yes, I know a lot of the church is already in heaven, but here we are tonight, and we have opportunity to make ourselves ready. Oh, yes, we have the opportunity to make ourselves ready to be found faithful when we stand before the living God so that we can be part of those called out ones, the ecclesia, the church of the living God. Oh, what a privilege it is to be called out. Called out of the world. That's exactly what happened with Abraham. He was called out of Ur of Chaldea. God called him out. He was going to make him separate. He was going to make a nation of his. God was disgusted with the idolatry, the paganism, all the unbelief there in that land. He was looking for somebody that had faith, somebody that would believe God, somebody that would walk with God, somebody that would be the friend of God. And he found that in Abraham. Oh, praise the Lord. A man that stepped out in faith and believed the promises of God, even though he couldn't see him with his eyes. But God was in that man and began to work in him. And oh, wow. He must have wondered at times. He must have wondered, but God directed him. Of course, we know he was looking for a city that hath foundation, whose ruler and maker is God, just as we are looking for that heavenly city, oh, that city that is above the New Jerusalem that's coming from, out from God, out of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, the city that's been prepared for the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. And so it was. It says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with an angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, or Sinai, and with our fathers received the lively oracles to give unto us. I mean, God sent Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, as it's also called, the Mount of God. And there he gave him the lively oracles, which were necessary, which they needed at that point, the law. But sadly, it tells us in verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. You know, it's so important that we not look back. As Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt, that looking back, oh, she loved the pleasures of sin. It wasn't out of her heart. And how do we know when somebody is fully repented? They've fully given their life to the Lord. I'll tell you, they leave behind the things of this world. All at once, all the things that, you know, most people esteem become insignificant. As God begins to turn our hearts around to him, the things of this world grow dim. You know, our heart isn't in this world. The Lord begins to take our heart and put it in heaven. You know, we begin to look for those things that are above, those things that are not seen. And, you know, things begin to change in our lives as God works in us. And we're not looking for Egypt. You know, people that serve God love sin. They hate sin, you know. They don't want anything to do with sin. But I'm afraid these Hebrew people that had been gloriously delivered out of Egypt, gloriously delivered across the Red Sea, and oh, many glorious things there in the wilderness. Look back from time to time. They look back. It didn't take them very long, you know. It was just about a month, I think, after they were delivered out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, and all at once, you know, they were murmuring and complaining. Oh my, and just, you know, thinking that they'd rather be in Egypt, you know, and then God would help them. Yes, He would send them the manna. He'd send them a quail in the evening, and you know, He made a way for them. And then pretty soon, oh, again, oh, where's the water? Where's the water? You know, and whatever, all God knew how to give them water. But again, complaining and talking about going back to Egypt. Oh, that just was their pattern again and again. Of course, God had mercy on them, and He would help them. But it is so important that we not look back, that we draw nigh to God, and that we leave this world behind, you know, and you know, we, our treasures aren't on this world, you know, just as Moses left Egypt, and he didn't esteem the treasures in Egypt, you know, he could have been Pharaoh one day, for all we know, he could have been, but you know, there was something else that was propelling him, something else that was calling him. He was looking beyond that, and he had, you know, a reason in his heart to think on the things that were beyond that. And so it must be with us. It must be with us. We've got to leave old Egypt behind. You know, we can't esteem the treasures of this world of value. We have to keep on drawing nigh to God. You know, we know in the 10th chapter of Hebrews there, it tells us clearly not to cast away our confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That confidence that we have in God, those assurances that we have from Him, that knowledge that His promises are yea and amen, we have to believe in them. We have to have confidence in them. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Yes, one day we're going to trade that confidence for the treasures of heaven. For it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Then it tells us as this chapter is ending, verse 38. That the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God does not like backsliding. He has bought us with His blood. He has saved us. He has redeemed us. He paid a tremendous price that we might be His. And He has no pleasure in them that draw back. Oh, it's a disgusting, horrendous thing to do when we've been purchased by so great salvation. Says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But praise the Lord, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Yes, that drawing back is going to lead people to hell. They might have been delivered from hell just as the Hebrew people had been delivered from Egypt. But pretty soon they were murmuring, complaining, talking about the leeks and the garlic and all the good things that they thought they had in Egypt while they were yet in bondage and slaves. And yet, they were complaining. And now Egypt is comparable to sin, perdition, things of this world. And it tells us here, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, yes, right. You know, we have to believe with all our heart that the Lord has called us, that He has chosen us, that He has put His Spirit within us. We have to believe that we are His. We have to believe that with all our hearts. We have to believe that to the saving of our soul. And no matter what happens, it has to be so deep within. No matter we have to walk this road alone, that we have enough strength within us by the grace of God and His mercy that we believe to the saving of our soul. Praise the Lord, because, oh boy, yes, confidence that we have in God has great recompense of reward. Oh, praise the Lord, the treasures that are beyond this world, the treasures that are in heaven, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, yes, things try to come into our life. Oh, my discouragement sometimes, and looking at other people, oh, forgetting that our focus has to be on the Lord Jesus. And sometimes, oh boy, people allow this root of bitterness to get inside their heart, and all at once they're looking at this and they're looking at that and the other person, their faults and this and that, and you know, or things that have gone wrong, and suddenly, you know, that nasty spirit gets in the way. Oh, we don't want anything to do with that. Oh, all these things need to be given to God. You know, we don't want anything deep down inside that's, oh, a bitterness, any root of evil that the devil might try to put there. Or certainly he is that adversary. He is that roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We must resist. Amen. And it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, for he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, we must not despise that birthright that the Lord has given us, that right to the inheritance. Oh, that wonderful price that He purchased for us, that we might be His sons and daughters, that gives us right to the birthright. Oh, the eternal inheritance that He's prepared for them that love Him. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't want anything to get in our hearts that would destroy us. Nothing at all. And we have these examples in God's Word to show us how it has happened in the past. You know, we don't want to be like Esau, who for just, you know, a small morsel traded in his birthright, just a little, you know, a bowl of a soup, lentils, red lentils, it seems, and he traded it in for his birthright. Oh my, he wanted it back later. He sought it carefully with tears. It was not to be found. We must not trade in our birthright. Verse 39 here in Acts 7. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us God to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. We don't know what has become of him. He hadn't been gone that long. They were at Mount Sinai. They hadn't gone that far into the wilderness. And, you know, it just didn't take them long at all to think that they were forsaken, to think, you know, that they were on their own, and to do what was utterly forbidden, to make idols. I'll tell you what, God hates idolatry in any form and shape. He hates it. He despises it. And you know, that was one thing his people were not to participate in, the pagan orgies and idolatry of the people all around them. But here they are, just barely into the wilderness, having just left Egypt, and it should have been fresh in their minds how God had delivered them and how they had rejoiced when the enemy was overthrown in the Red Sea. But it wasn't long at all. There they were at the Mount of God, at Mount Horeb, and there it was, you know, it was burning. And it was on fire, and it should have told them, God is there, God's up in the mountain. You know, Moses is talking to him, it should have been a constant reference. Every moment that, you know, they better fear God. They better listen. But, you know, it didn't take them long at all. And oh, that horrendous story when they told Aaron to make them a calf. I'll tell you what, Aaron should not have listened. Oh, it tells us, 9th chapter of Deuteronomy, I believe, that God was very upset with Aaron. God was going to smite him. God was going to kill him, but Moses interceded for him. And God spared him. God does despise idolatry. He does despise it, like, you know, we could never even begin to fully grasp it. But, you know, there are things that must be left alone. We are not to learn the way of the heathens. We're not to touch the abominable things. And we better know this. We better fear God enough to stay far from it. Oh, no, it wasn't pretty at all when, you know, the people, Moses, he was up in the mount, and, you know, it'd been a few days. It'd been several days. And so there in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, they're telling Aaron, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. We don't know what's become of him. And, you know, Aaron said, well, break off those golden earrings, which are in your ears, and bring them to me. And they did that. And, you know, it tells us clearly that when he received them, Aaron, you know, he should have known better. You know, there's a lot of blame to be put on him, because it tells us, fourth verse of Exodus 32, that he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. He made it. He fashioned it. He used a tool. He told them to do this, to give them the golden earrings, and so they did it. Those things that, really caused them a lot of trouble, that's for sure. They should have hid them under the trees and forgot about them. But anyway, here it was. And so he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Oh, man, come on. No way is this a feast to the Lord. Not the Lord that we serve. But he built an altar before it. And here was. They rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. This was nasty, beyond our comprehension. And God saw it. God knew it. You know, here, he was just giving the law. They'd already broken it. They'd already broken it. It hadn't even been presented to them, and they'd already broken it. Oh, the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto it, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They were giving credits to that molten calf and worshiping it, dancing around it, and they were naked. I tell you what, it wasn't pretty. They were having an orgy that was very repulsive and unbelievably nasty. The Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. I will make of thee a great nation. You know, God had seen it. He brought them out. He had delivered them mightily. And here they were already corrupted, worshiping a graven image. Oh my. And dancing around it, worshiping it. And exalting them like they were the gods that had brought them out of Egypt. Oh, well, it was unbelievable. It was horrible. But Moses, the man of God, besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. He's beseeching God. He's crying out to God. The compassion that Moses had. And yet at this point, I don't think he quite realized how nasty these people were. And he said in verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And it tells us in verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. In other words, he listened. Not that he had to, but God had mercy. It means that God had mercy on these people, and he listened to the intercession that Moses besought for these people. Oh my. But I'll tell you what, oh, here he comes down from the mount, and he's got the tables in his hands, the laws, and they have been written by the finger of God. God had written them himself. And here it is, Moses is coming down the mountain, and it tells us in verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and now, I mean, Moses is seeing it. Oh, it says, Moses' anger waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Oh, I tell you what, it was pretty nasty. It was pretty nasty, and of course there was some judgment that followed. You know, it tells us, oh, he saw them, you know. And Aaron was, he was hugely to blame. He was hugely to blame. Verse 25, it says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And it says that Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Well, I'll tell you what, it was pretty nasty. And that's one of the ordeals that Moses had to go through. That was just one of the cases where he intervened on the behalf of those people that had that tremendous tendency to backslide, forget God, and to go into idolatry. Oh, I tell you, God hates idolatry. And so it tells us here, back in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 40 again, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Oh, it was nasty. And as time went on, that tendency, that propensity to turn to idolatry was in the hearts of these people. It was tremendously upon them, so it seems. And it came, you know, and we know, we studied the book of Jeremiah, and we know by that time, oh my, it was after much time had passed. But again, oh, that learning the ways of the heathens and embracing their gods and even doing more wicked than the heathen, oh, was grossly embedded in the hearts of these people. And time again, God would warn them. He would send his prophets to warn them. At times they had wonderful kings that would lead them properly. But then another king would rise and he would have iniquity in his heart and lead the people the other direction, and all that constant confusion, the back and the forth. And finally, it tells us in verse 42, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Of course they did. They were carried away to Babylon. That happened. And here he's saying, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices for the space of 40 years in the wilderness? This was all from Amos, the 5th chapter. It says, yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Let me just tell you a few things about Moloch. Tell you what, they were strictly forbidden to leave this alone. Let's just look once at Leviticus chapter 20 here. If you look at the first verses here in chapter 20 of Leviticus, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary, to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land in any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among the people, among their people. And it tells us in verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Tell you what, this was serious. It was strictly forbidden, any idolatry, of course. Any seeking after familiar spirits, after wizards, going a whoring after them. It was completely forbidden. But Moloch was probably the most abominable of the abominable, probably the most detestable of all of them, because Moloch required the sacrificing of children and the passing through the fire. It was utterly forbidden, as we read there in Leviticus 20. And, you know, they were told strictly if anyone would defile himself, give up his seed unto Moloch, that they were to be cut off. And if you ignore that, then you're going to be in trouble. Yet they did this. Yes, it was the god of the children of Ammon, Moloch. And you know what? Even Solomon, who did so well at the first, and he was older in his old age and had all those wives and concubines, he built an altar to Moloch there in the valley of Hinnom. God was very angry with Solomon. He tells us this in 1 Kings 11 chapter. Another king of Israel, Manasseh, also honored Moloch. I'll tell you what, it wasn't good. And I'll tell you what, they offered the children, the babies, to Moloch. And God was not overlooking that at all. God did not overlook what Manasseh did. It was not going to be forgotten. And I'll tell you what, God's looking at this nation tonight. He's looking at her right now. He sees all the sacrifices that have been made, the children that they've offered up to Moloch, in that sense, the idolatry in this land, and the sin. And God's not ignoring it. Oh my, he's not ignoring it at all. Thank God after Manasseh, Josiah did cleanse Judah, but then one of his sons, Jehoiakim, brought it back. Oh, I'll tell you about that propensity to go to idolatry was strong in the hearts of these people. And again, how could I say it? God hates idolatry. If you turn to Psalms 106, we can read a portion of that chapter also, which bears out a lot of the history of the Hebrew people. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just want to show you a few verses here that go along with what we're talking about tonight. Well, maybe several verses here. If we look at verse 23, and there's a lot that they tells us here. It's quite an interesting chapter. Verse 23 says, "Therefore he said that he would destroy them," talking about what God would do, "had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands." It says in verse 28, "They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead," oh, doing the ways of the heathen, abominable things that God hated. "Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas, and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed." You can go to Numbers to read of that. And it tells us, "And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore." And then it says in verse 32, "They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes." There at the end, again, they had vexed Moses so many times. And again, you know the need for water, and Moses this time, "Shall I fetch water for you?" And he took credit that he should not have taken. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it. And, you know, it went ill with Moses for their sakes. But honestly, that man, what he went through with these murmuring, complaining people that were so bent upon backsliding, their hearts still in Egypt. I'll tell you what, it's so important that we come out of Egypt. That when we surrender our life to the Lord, that the things of this world lose their hold in our lives. You know, that we're not, you know, really sacrificing unto idols. That we don't have idols in our heart and things that distract us and take us away from the will of God in our life. And things can rise. It is important that we completely and often examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. That is always necessary. Because we do have an adversary who's always trying to provoke us and always trying to tempt us in every way that he can. It tells us in verse 33 here in Psalms 106, "Because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them." And this has happened. This is after they got into Canaan land. They were to destroy the nations. And we could read why. Because, you know, God did not want them doing the works that the heathens did. He did not want those temptations upon them. They were wicked, abominable people. But it tells us they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. They were learning the ways of the heathen. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And here they talk about what they did. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Oh, that was the worship unto Moloch, for one thing. And shed innocent blood. Oh, yes. Oh, passing the fire, throwing their babies. Even the blood of their sons and other daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he had abhorred his own inheritance. Tell you, I mean it. God hates idolatry. He hates the ways of the heathens. He doesn't want his people mingling with the heathen and doing the same things. He wants us to be a holy, separate people that have come out of Egypt, that have come out of the world, and that have a fear of the Lord in their hearts and love and serve the Lord, that have put God first and surrender their lives to him. And it says that he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Oh, yes, there was something else he could do. So he did allow the Assyrians to take the 10 northern tribes. He did allow the Babylonians to come in and take Judah and Benjamin. Yes, he did. Because there was nothing else he could do. They were not accepting his chastisement and his reproof and the words of the prophets. They were so contrary to the plan and will of God that there was nothing else that he could do but give them over. So back in Acts 7, it tells us, God turned them, gave them up to worship the host of heaven. There's nothing I can do with you. It's just, you know, like an unruly child, you know, that you've tried every way that you possibly can to discipline them, and they just won't listen. They just won't do anything. So God gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices for the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your god Remphan, figures which you have made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. You know what that star was? The star of your god Remphan? That was a 6-pointed star. The one they call the Star of David. That's what it was. That equilateral triangle. Those 6 lines, those 6 sides that come together. Overlap. They brought that out of Egypt. It's, you know, magical sign that is still seen to this day. The flag of Israel in Jewish synagogues. And other places. And, well known. It represented Pharaoh's pyramid. And, oh boy, it's an abomination to God. That's what they carried out. That's what they took up. God gave them over. God hates idolatry. In Amos, the 5th chapter, it tells us in verse 25, these are the verses that are being referred to in Acts 7 here. Verse 25, Amos 5. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offering in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Shaun, or another word for Remphan, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Oh, our God hates idolatry. Back in Acts 7, verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle witnessed in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. God giving Moses the very precise details to build the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. And then it says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus. Here, the word Jesus would be translated Joshua. They both mean the same thing, depending on what language you're using. Brought in with Joshua, if you want to say Joshua there, into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. So we know that Joshua followed Moses, and he was the one that brought them into Canaan land. And you know, they drove out some of the enemies. And then eventually, as time went on, it brought them unto the days of David. It says in verse 6, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. It's speaking of David there, who pleased the Lord, the man after God's own heart. And it was in his heart to build God a tabernacle, a temple. He wanted so to do it. But of course we know that God didn't allow him to do it. But he said his son would do it. And it tells us in verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. Yes, David was able to gather the materials for the tabernacle or temple that would be built. But God did not allow him to do it. But his son Solomon built him a house. But there's something else here. And Stephen, as he's preaching this message, he's coming against something else. It says, verse 48, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. And here he's quoting from Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? There was something else. Oh, as time went by, it wasn't that, you know, there was going to need be a temple for people to serve the Lord. You know, besides, yes, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. How can he build me a house? How can he put me, you know, in a house? I'm everywhere. God is saying, you know, I inhabit, you know, the heavens, I inhabit the earth, I'm everywhere. I'm not restricted. You know, I'm so great. There's no way you could put me in a box or in a house, you know. So what is the place of my rest? And you know, have not my hand made all these things? Everything belongs to me anyway. So declares the Lord, it's all mine. And Stephen, as he ends, he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. That same spirit that was in their fathers, those Hebrew fathers, was in these people that had risen up against Stephen. He said here, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Oh boy, they didn't like his message. They didn't like it at all. It says when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Ooh, that they were angry. Oh, that horrendous spirit of the devil was heavy in these people who were Hebrew people. But do you know what had happened? As Stephen was preaching all this message, faith of the fathers, and so it was, he was coming against their temple worship, something they didn't want to give up. Oh boy, something that they esteemed highly. But you know, Stephen was trying to tell them, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. And Paul, too, when he was on Mars Hill, preached that same message. But here, you know, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? God had a plan, didn't he? Oh my, as the Lord Jesus stood there before Pilate. Oh, again, it was the same spirit in those Israelite people who said, crucify him, as Jesus stood before Pilate. Yes, they had arrested him illegally, and there he was standing before Pilate. Pilate could see through it. He knew that Jesus wasn't guilty at all. And here it tells us, John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, verse 34, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Well, Pilate says, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? I mean, Pilate couldn't believe it. Here's Jesus. Pilate could tell he was innocent. And his wife also knew that he was innocent and had suffered a dream and told Pilate to have nothing to do with this innocent man. But Jesus said, he answered in verse 36, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Oh, Jesus came to set up a glorious kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual Israel. He was going to bring forth a new covenant in his blood, and he was going to bring forth a people who would be a temple of the Holy Ghost. The dwelling place of God. Oh, yes, it wasn't going to be necessary for God to dwell in a house. He's far greater than that. But God was going to come. That spirit that was in Jesus was going to be in the people of God. God was going to make them the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. The Lord's kingdom was not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? You know, we would fight for it, but now is my kingdom not of this world? There was something greater. There was something beyond that. The Lord was purchasing a people with his blood. Oh, and what a price he paid for us. Oh, wow. You know, his people were going to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. We could read of that in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. It says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He put his Spirit within us, making us lively stones, making us a dwelling place, a temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, he bought us with a price, that price of his dear son, that blood that was shed for us. We're not bought with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, as a lamb that was slain for our salvation, that we might be heirs of the kingdom of God, that we might be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? Oh, we're not to be part of this world. We're not to mix with the world. It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, praise the Lord, what a plan. Oh, this plan that God had from the foundation of the world. You know that he would redeem a people, that he would set them free, that he would make them his tabernacle, his dwelling place, that he would put his spirit in his people so that we could be his sons and daughters. Oh, what a plan. That we could be heirs to the kingdom of God. Oh, that we could all dwell with him throughout eternity. That's his plan. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he did. He purchased us so that we could be his people, that he would dwell in us, his spirit. He would put his spirit in our hearts so that we would know the way, that we could hear his voice, that we could hear him say, this is a way, walking in it when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. So wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Oh, we are not to mix and mingle with the world. We're not to have any part of idolatry. We're not to learn the ways of the heathen. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Oh, we better not. We better not mingle. We better not mess with the things that God hates. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. Oh, that church that he has brought forth, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that he has brought out to redeem. A people that were not the people, but are now the people of God. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what he has put in our heart. Oh, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We're the people of God. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That peculiar people that he's redeemed. And yes, it's not a temple that is on earth that is to be esteemed and revered. And you know, to this day, there's a people that are building a temple. Oh, they got it all ready. They've got it in pieces. It's, you know, they're looking for a moment over there, the land of Israel. These days, they want to bring back temple worship. They want to build a temple. I'll tell you what, the Most High God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Oh no, he puts his spirit within his people so that he could be in us, so that he could walk in us, that the law would be in our hearts and in our minds, and so that we would know what is right and what is wrong, so we could discern the evil from that which is holy, so that we could be a separate people, a holy people, not mingling and messing with the world and doing the things that the heathen do, the abominable. Oh my. That's why we don't want anything to do with such things as Christmas. You know? It comes from heathen practices. It's, you know, it's not something that God told his people to do. He didn't tell us to celebrate a day of his birth, and it's not the day of his birth anyway. But it's just a mess of heathen practices in a time of festivity, and people doing the things that seem good to them, mingling and messing with the world. And you know, isn't it something how people of all backgrounds managed to celebrate Christmas? But wow, God has a people which he has put his spirit in. And you know, we're not looking for a kingdom on this world. God's going to destroy this world, but it's a holy city going to come out from God, out from heaven, a new Jerusalem. Oh, a city that God has prepared for them that love him. And praise the Lord, you know, the Jewish people did not receive him. Jesus told them clearly, another would come in his own name and him they would receive. And while they get ready to receive an Antichrist, his true people are looking to the living God. His true people have turned away from the ways of this world. You know, if the Lord has saved us, then we don't want any part of sin. We don't want any way of the wickedness of this world with idolatry and the things that will soon vanish away. Our hearts are in heaven because God has taken us out, you know. And we can sit and worship him. We can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, I love it. When all we can get together and we can praise and worship the Lord. When we can respond to his spirit. When we can feel him welling up in our souls. Oh, when his presence comes down and we find that little sanctuary with him. And we know that our God is alive. That he lives. And because he lives, we can live also. Praise the Lord, because we have a hope in our heart. Oh, we've been redeemed. Oh, not with corruptible things of silver and gold. By any means. Oh, my. Not with that at all. From our being conversation received by tradition from our fathers. With the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And as 1 Peter 1:21, the portion ends, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, praise the Lord, that's where our hope, our faith must be, in the living God, not in things of this world. The faith that the forefathers had, those that really served the Lord, a faith that he put it out in their hearts, deep in our hearts too, that we have this hope in our earthen vessels, that someday he's going to transform us completely and entirely. We're already transformed into the kingdom of his dear son, but one day it's going to be visible, and we're going to be there. That land where there's no sin, where there's no contrariness, where there's no devil, where there's no sickness, where there's no pain, where there's no death. We're going to be there with God, around his throne, worshiping him, praising him, adoring him, ever thankful for the wonderful price that he paid, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for what he has done. Thank God for the way he has redeemed us. And yes, they stoned Stephen. They stoned him. But the Lord was in his heart. And you know, he cried as they were stoning him, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Oh, yes. God took him home. Oh, yes. They couldn't bear him. They couldn't bear his testimony. And I'll tell you what, there was one that received him. And that's our Lord. That's our God. And praise the Lord. That's all that matters. One day that we get home. We get home and be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's so good. I thank God that, oh wow, we are the temple of the living God. And he has put his spirit within us, the dwelling place of the living God. Praise the Lord, we don't have to worship in an edifice, in a building, but oh, he's in our hearts. And praise the Lord, we give it to Him. We give our hearts to Him. And we shun the things of this world and look towards those things that are above. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You for what You've done, for that price that You paid, and that redemption that You made available for us, Lord, that we might be Your sons and daughters. Lord, I pray that You talk tonight. Oh, Lord, that You talk to hearts. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You call us unto Yourselves. Help us to get ready for You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, to give everything to You, Lord, that there would be nothing within us that would hinder us, oh, Lord, from receiving Your promise, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You cause us, oh, Lord, to draw nigh to You. Oh, God, and to serve You with all our hearts. Oh, God, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's getting us ready. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Well, it just seems appropriate to sing number 78 in the chorus book again, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Send a prayer in Jesus' name.